A pit for the heifer lump. Our next story ties in with a verse from the book of Proverbs, an idea which is reiterated in several places in the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. In Proverbs 28, verse 10, we read, "He who tempts the upright into evil ways will land himself in the pit he has dug." The story in Winnie the Pooh is, of course, of how Piglet meets a heifer lump. Let me remind you of the outline of the story. Christopher Robin tells Pooh and Piglet that he has seen a heifer lump, rather to Pooh's surprise, who says you don't usually see them at this time of year. Pooh makes the solemn decision that he is going to catch a heifer lump by means of a cunning trap, by which he means a very deep pit. There is naturally a great deal of discussion about where this pit should be dug. About a foot further on from where the heifer lump is standing seems like a good idea to Piglet, but Pooh quite reasonably suspects that the heifer lump might get suspicious and could not be guaranteed to be distracted by looking at the sky at the time. So Pooh has the bright idea of baiting the trap. For Pooh, of course, there can only be one possible bait, honey. So off he goes and lifts down a jar to use in the heifer lump trap. It is labelled honey and looks like honey, but Pooh remembers that his uncle had told him he had once seen cheese of exactly that colour. Now, since he, Pooh, doesn't like cheese, there is a chance that heifer lumps don't like cheese also. So he needs to eat some to test whether in fact it really is honey. And so it proves to be. But Pooh is suspicious. Unless, of course, somebody put cheese in at the bottom just as a joke. Perhaps I'd better go a little further just in case. Ah, he gave a deep sigh. I was right. It is honey all the way down. Now, already I have lots of theological bells ringing. Pooh is extrapolating from himself in order to decide what is true about the mysterious and unseen heifer lump. The proper name for this activity, when we do it with God, is anthropomorphism. We talk about God in human terms because there are no more accurate ones available. But then we go one step too far and presume that God is exactly like human beings. So we decide that what is good for us must be good for God. We project onto God all our human instincts and preferences, just as Pooh made heifer lumps attracted by honey. He had no objective evidence for that whatsoever. In world religions, you can see that process happening time after time. You think of the Norse pantheon. Norse gods were a projection of the warlike Vikings. Their heaven, Valhalla, was a projection of an idealized world in which they could make merry war by day and sleep easily at night. In order to escape from this natural enough tendency, we need to have some objective information about what God really is like. There's a wonderful example of this in Hosea chapter 11. He rages in the name of God about how Israel has been unfaithful to God, betraying his trust. So they will be destroyed, devoured, handed over to foreign kings, and ignored by God. But then he has a change of heart and writes, "Tenderness kindles within me. I am not going to let loose my fury. I shall not turn and destroy Ephraim, for I am God, not a mortal. I am the Holy One in your midst." The great act of Jesus being sent by God was precisely to make it clear what he was like. And Jesus stood out against the mass of humanity and showed a different way of being. Man was made in God's image, but had distorted that image through the fall. Now we could see again the true image of God. But the risk of projecting onto God remains, as the rejection of the likes of bears was projected onto the heifer lump. This same part of the story alerts me too to the risk we all run of trying to delude ourselves. Pooh says he is testing the jar to check it's really the right stuff. But he is in fact indulging his own considerable greed, which is part of his nature. And he finds a reason for extending that need to test, although it's fairly obvious there's no real need to do so. The result is that he destroys what he'd wanted for its real purpose and makes it useless. It is horribly true to the nature of human sinfulness. It was St. Augustine who prayed, "Lord, make me chaste, but not yet." He also said, "Yes, Lord, yes. I'll get to it right away. Just don't bother me for a little while." But right away didn't happen right away, and a little while turned out to be a very long while. We can find the most imaginative reasons for continuing to do what we want to do and know to be wrong, and for not doing what we don't want to do and know to be right. That has been true for the greatest of saints, beginning with Paul. "The good which I want to do, I fail to do. But what I do is the wrong which is against my will." We're unlikely to be very different from Paul or Pooh in this respect. But back again to our story. Pooh takes the empty jar and Piglet puts it in the pit which he has been busy digging. Pooh goes off home and goes to bed. He wakes feeling hungry and goes off to open a jar of honey and finds there isn't one on the shelf. It's only after singing a song about knowing that he was sure he had some that he remembers about the heffalump tramp and thinks of 587 heffalumps all making straight for the honey and eating it. Off he goes down into the pit he has dug himself and then remembers he'd already eaten it. But there might be a little bit left in the bottom, so he sticks his head in it and the inevitable happens. His head gets stuck. At first light, when Piglet arrives, he's running about at the bottom of the pit, making a loud roaring sound of sadness and despair. Piglet is terrified. "Help! Help! A heffalump! A horrible heffalump! Help! Help! A horrible hoffalump! Hoff! 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 A horrible horrorlump! Help! Help! A hoffable horrorlump!" And off he goes to get Christopher Robin, who sees what has happened. And finally, Pooh manages to break the jar and emerges from it. Piglet is ashamed of himself and runs off home. The pit has been dug, and they who digged it, Pooh and Piglet, have in a sense both fallen into it themselves. They are their own victims. There is a great deal of theology here about the fall. We are our own victims because of our sinfulness. The biblical use of the word pit to denote hell is splendidly appropriate. But there's another layer here to be thought about on Good Friday. Weird and wonderful theories about what God was doing in allowing Jesus to become man and to be crucified have been dreamed up over the centuries. There are few more bizarre than the theory of the baited trap. This has its origins in Origen and Ignatius, but is first declared in its full-blown form by Bishop Gregory of Nyssa at the end of the 4th century. Let me tell you part of what he wrote. "The purpose of the incarnation was that the divine virtue of the Son of Man might be, as it were, a hook hidden beneath the form of human flesh, that the Son might offer his flesh as a bait, and that then the divinity which lay beneath might catch hold of the prince of this age and hold him fast with its hook. So he that had the powers of death seized the body of Jesus in death, unaware of the hook of divinity concealed therein. Having swallowed it, he was caught straightway. The bars of hell burst, and he was, as it were, drawn up from the pit to become food for others." It's hard to know how good, intelligent, and pious people could take this gibberish seriously, but they did for several centuries, including St. Augustine, who retold it using the imagery of a mousetrap. It's been fun to think of the story of Pooh baiting his heffalump trap, but we are in an equally unreal world if we allow ourselves to think of God baiting a trap with Jesus' divinity concealed inside his humanity. Yet what those thinkers were doing was attempting to put into words something of the defeat of evil that happened in the crucifixion and resurrection. The world was not the same place, because sin, death, and evil had been faced and conquered. The pit which men had dug for themselves was no longer to be feared. They could say with the psalmist, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up from the pit of roaring waters out of the mire and clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and made firm my stronghold. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even the song of thanksgiving to our God.